Welcome to Riches in Christ Radio Ministry with Diane Kennedy. Please stay tuned at the end of today's lesson. We'll give you information on how you can acquire this week's tape, along with information about our weekly meetings and website. Now, here's Diane Kennedy.
This week, we're continuing our discussion of what it means to have the life of God in us. If you are born again, if Jesus is your Lord and Savior, you have eternal life. You have something in you that was not in you before. The very life of God. The uncreated eternal life in God. That life has come into your spirit. Your spirit, human spirits were made with the capacity to receive God's life. God's life came into you. You now have a treasure in an earthen vessel. And that life has produced a tremendous transformation. It has turned you from unrighteous, unholy sinner into holy, righteous son or daughter of God. Now that life did not directly affect your mind, your emotions, or your soul. Your soul is your mind and your emotions. It did not directly affect your body. But it's God's desire that in this life, that inward change, that inward transformation affect your mind, your emotions, and your body. In other words, you have outward evidence of the life within. You produce fruit. That's what fruit is. Fruit is outward evidence of the life within. Now, we hear about producing fruit, and we think it's something we got to conjure up or grunt out or make happen, and it doesn't happen, and we get frustrated. And we are emphasizing the point that producing the outward evidence is God's part. Our part is to know what's in us and then to believe it, no matter how we feel, no matter how we look, no matter what's going on in our lives. We've covered a whole lot of ground these past, I don't know, this is probably the sixth week we've been on this. We've been on it for a while. I've repeated a lot, and I'm going to continue to repeat because much of this is new information to a lot of people. We've made reference to the Apostle Paul quite a bit. One, because he was the man to whom the revelation was given that believers have an organic union with Christ. The gospel that Paul preached, he was personally taught by Jesus. And Jesus revealed to him that there is a union between the believer and himself. Christianity is not just a belief system and a code of ethics. There are things we believe, there are things we're supposed to do, but it's a living, vital, organic union between Almighty God and man through Jesus Christ. And through that union, we are literally born of God, become His literal, actual sons and daughters of God, and a process of transformation begins. It's complete in our spirit, but it's ultimately going to make every part of our being like Jesus, the perfect Son. Paul had outward demonstration of the life of God within him. In other words, he walked the talk. The talk that he preached, he walked as well. He had outward demonstration of the life of God within him. Galatians 2:20, he wrote, "I was crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live." Stop right there. He knew that when Jesus died for him as him, and that when Jesus was raised up, the life that was given to Jesus in the resurrection was given to Paul at the new birth. And that's true of you if you're a Christian today. "I was crucified with Christ," he wrote. "I was crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me." He knew Christ lived in him. Now, when he said Christ lived in him, he didn't mean there was a little Jesus in his heart walking around. We discussed that a few weeks ago. To have Christ living in you means Christ by his life. Through that union, the life of the vine is in the branch. "I was crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me." Then Paul went on to say, "And the life that I now live in the flesh, this life that I am living in the unchanged parts of me," he didn't get a new mind, didn't get new emotions, didn't get a new body, "the life that I now live in this flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God." In context there, he's saying, "I live by faith in Jesus to be in me and through me all that he has come into me to be." In other words, Paul lived with the expectation that what was on him, what was in him, on the inside of him, through the new birth, would show up on the outside. And we were looking at statements that he made in his epistles that show us his view of reality. He saw himself as he truly was in relation to God, born of God, united to God, one spirit with the Lord. He's the one who said, in the context of trials, tribulation, and suffering that he faced as he preached the gospel, he said, I am more than a conqueror through my union with Christ in Romans 8, verses 35 through 37. When he was in prison, in the context of being imprisoned, he said, I can do all things through my union with Christ. In the context of the great labor involved in preaching the gospel, he said, I struggle and toil by his energy, which works mightily in me. See, when he reached the end of his strength, he knew he had a power source in him. He understood that we have resurrection life in us. And he told believers in Philippians 2, 12 and 13, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Work out there doesn't mean save yourself through your efforts. It means fully accomplish or bring to completion your salvation. The goal of salvation is transformation. And part of that transformation is the inward changes show up on the outside, and he gave us a key as to how that happens. Let me repeat the verse. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, for it is God who worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. See, the way you bring your salvation to completion, outward evidence of the life within, is by living with the awareness that God's in you, working in you, energizing you, empowering you, by his life in you. Let me read you some more verses. We see this theme over and over in Paul's writings, the idea that God is working in us to enable us, empower us, and transform us outwardly by the power of his life within us. Hebrews chapter 13, verses 20 and 21. I believe Paul wrote Hebrews, so these are his words. This is out of the Amplified. Now may God strengthen, complete, perfect, and make you what you ought to be, and equip you with every good that you may carry out his will, while he himself works in you and accomplishes that which is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ. Did you get that? His prayer for these people, that God would strengthen them and equip them as he works in them. Paul was aware that the equipping and the strengthening would come from God working in them and showing up on the outside. Romans chapter 8, verse 11. Yea, if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead be dwelling in you, he who raised Christ from the dead shall endow with life also your mortal bodies by his spirit that dwells within you. That's the life of God in your spirit showing up in your mortal flesh. Mortal flesh means death doomed. If Jesus doesn't come back in our lifetime, all of us are going to die. Our bodies are doomed to die because of the curse of sin that's in this earth. They'll be resurrected at the second coming of Jesus. But it's God's will that his life on the inside show up in our physical bodies in the form of strength for service and physical healing and health. Romans chapter 5, verse 10 says, Paul wrote this one also, it is much more certain that now that we are reconciled, we shall be saved or daily delivered from sin's dominion through his resurrection life. Paul expected daily deliverance from the effects of sin's dominion through the resurrection life in him. See, how do you overcome sin? Not in your own natural strength, but by his strength in you working through you. Paul prayed for Christians that they would know and experience that resurrection life and power. Let me just read you some prayers he prayed for people. This is Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19 and 20, out of the Amplified. And so that you can know and understand what is the immeasurable and unlimited and surpassing greatness of his power in us and for us who believe, as demonstrated in the working of his mighty strength, which he exerted in Christ when he raised him from the dead. Paul prayed for believers that they would know that in them is the same life, the same power that raised Christ from the dead. That's in the middle of a prayer in Ephesians, if you're familiar with it. It's Ephesians chapter 1, verses 16, down to the end of the chapter. He prays for Christians. This is a Holy Spirit-inspired prayer, which means it'll be answered because it's perfectly in agreement with the will of God. He prayed that believers would know the hope to which we've been called, what are the riches of the glory of our inheritance in Christ, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power working in us. Pray that, God, help me to know what is the exceeding greatness of your power working in me. That's in Ephesians chapter 1. Find that verse, personalize it, put your name in it, and pray it for yourself. God wants you to know what's in you. Why? Because in order for it to show up on the outside, you have to know what's in you and believe it. Over in Ephesians chapter 3, he prayed for believers. May God grant you out of his rich treasury of glory to be strengthened and reinforced with mighty power in the inner man by the Holy Spirit himself indwelling your innermost being and personality. That's the Amplified. The King James says that you'd be strengthened with power and might by his Spirit in your inner man. See, Paul prayed that what's in them would strengthen them and show up outwardly. Then in verse 20, you've heard this verse, Ephesians 3:20, now unto him who's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think by his power working in us. See, there it is again, by his power working in us. The Amplified says, now to him who by or in consequence of the action of his power that is at work within us is able to carry out his purpose and do super abundantly, far over and above all that we dare ask or think. My point is, all these verses talk about God in you by his life, by his Spirit working in you to give you outward evidence of his life within. You don't just need strength in your spirit, you need it in your body. You don't just need peace in your spirit, you need it in your mind. You don't just need joy in your spirit, you need it in your soul. But you have to know that you already have peace, joy, and strength in you, in the life that's in you because of your union with Christ. You have to believe it's there. You have to, and we'll talk more about this tomorrow, thank God, acknowledge that he's in you, working in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure, and have an expectation that what's on the inside will show up on the outside. That's part of faith. And guess what? God works in our lives by his grace through faith. He will produce the fruit. We got more to talk about tomorrow.
You have been listening to Diane Kennedy of Riches in Christ. To order this week's teaching on CD, be ready for our number coming up soon. Diane teaches locally every Friday night at 7:30 p.m. near Highway 44 in Jamison at 4720 Jamison. Praise and worship is provided by Mercy's Child before each lesson. Riches in Christ provides a website at www.richesinchrist.com where you can listen to this week's radio lesson, download years of teachings and outlines, sign up for free weekly outlines, and order Diane's book, God is Good and Good Means Good. Friends, knowing that God is good is the single most important thing to stand on when trouble hits. If you think the trouble comes from or is allowed by God, then you need this book. For information or to order this week's lesson on CD, call us at 1-888-739-6619. Please mention today's date. Our number again is 1-888-739-6619. 19.